afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you? Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Now that's why they call me Cubsy.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you. You two-faced rat. Hey, hey, you want to come to Marymount Park? I will just school you and shoot on you. Get nothing. Get nothing. Hey, I'm the Sting. Hey.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program. And if you enjoy the local teams, what a weekend for you.
There's a lot of enjoyment.
Well, I would say so. I'd say that you have to be mighty pleased at what happened. You had your Boston Bruins dominating, the best playoff game they've played.
Yeah, that was a not only dominating, but you had guys who you've been waiting to see something from, like Rick Nash, and all of a sudden he's playing well. You had Tuukka Rask have an excellent game despite a blade flying off of his...
threw that blade, and he said, no game misconduct.
Yeah.
They said, okay.
Glad he didn't throw that into the stands.
Well, he threw it enough. Sharp-ass blade. You know, you could have said something. And then you have your Boston Celtics taking care of business at home. So, I think a lot of people that were on the verge of suicide just said no.
Nope, I was going to, and now it's like, we got something to live for, at least for another week or so.
Yeah.
You know, we're feeling pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, you feel good about yourselves.
Yeah,
So it's really the responsibility of the teams to keep very depressed people, alive.
Well, if you believe Ray Lewis, didn't he say if there was no football, or there would be crime,
no,
or as you call it,
evil.
Crime, evil, or as you call it, crime.
Evil, or as you might say, crime.
Watch what happens if there's no football.
Right. So, so far, so good.
Yep.
I mean, at least a couple weeks more of playoff basketball and hockey.
And tonight's one of those nights where you're just going to wear down the last button on your remote because you have a 7 o'clock puck drop and then you've got an 8 o'clock tip-off.
Right.
And I think that... I might be wrong, but isn't that the only overlap during these two series?
They alternate. Because the Bruins have the Garden on Wednesday. Bruins play Wednesday, Celtics play Thursday, and then it's every other day for both.
Right, so that's the one thing that mixes it up. So that's right. So from then on, tonight's the only night, I believe,
I think that's
round two, that you're going to have them on at the same time, which is obviously...
ideal.
It is. Not tonight, but...
Johnny Wall game, calling the game on Saturday. Can't say I heard it, because I have a television.
Apparently, he killed it. A lot of, you know what? A shocking amount of people tweeted me pictures of them, like pictures of their radio, them listening to you that night.
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure that they were all the Wallaholics were
being represented.
When you say
shockingly.
Two.
Okay. I would guess.
Which is shocking.
Yes. Yes. I had a lot of listeners to the show reach out to me on Twitter before the game. It was very nice.
I'm not kidding.
Before and after.
They're actually, I'm joking. There were a bunch of people who said that they heard you. And the reason I know that is they were quoting lines from what you had said.
Oh, really?
On certain plays. Oh, I guess the glowing... The glowing praise of the night was your call on my favorite sequence of the evening was the Jason Tatum block, which turned back into the Jason Tatum three-point shot
right.
that, you know, made the place go crazy.
Well, John's like, yeah.
Yeah, he knows. He knows.
That was the shot. That was the call.
He knows.
That was the call. Well, I'm still waiting to find the Cume numbers. When you say a lot of people, can you give me an approximation?
I mean, a couple dozen? I mean, that's a lot for 24? A Saturday night. Well, I didn't count, but I do know
that... Well, that's easy to count. I mean, you're not talking about 1,000 people.
Well, I didn't count, and it's way down in my timeline, so I'm not sure. But,
Mr. Twitter. I didn't mean to get in your head. John, the Wallaholics that were so happy for
you. They're vocal.
I want to know exactly how many people listened to that game. I don't doubt you did a great game. I just want to know how many people listened to an 8 o'clock Saturday night game, which you pay much more attention to than this very radio show, even though there's a minuscule audience compared to...
You're saying I paid much more attention to preparing for the game than I did for this job?
Yes.
I think that's wildly incorrect by you.
You ignore your responsibilities around the home and
I ignored my responsibilities around the home.
You say that. You've said that. I'm not lying.
I never said I ignored responsibilities around my house. When did I say that?
Yeah, you said that you had to spend an entire day and that you had to skip things to prepare. You said that. You really did say that.
I said I needed a day. Are we going back to when I couldn't go to the Red Sox game?
Yes.
That one day?
Yes.
That was one day. If I really decided, and by the way, that most of that studying took place in the afternoon before I had to go get my kids at school.
Okay.
So but, I didn't skip responsibility. You make me sound like I'm a maniac. That wasn't the case at all.
I didn't say you're a maniac. I said that you like to prepare.
I do.
All I know is that John apparently did such a good job that Sean Grandy's getting salty on Twitter. That's when you know you've really shaken the nest. All right? Because somebody tweeted, Celtics 1-0 in playoffs when Ken Griffey Rules calls the game. And Sean Grandy replied to that and said, so we're all just going to forget game two of the Eastern Conference Finals last year? That didn't happen? Cool.
Yeah.
So
you and Grandy are at each other's throat.
Right.
Wallach's not at his throat. Grandy's just like, hey, any praise that's going Wallach's way, remember, it's my job.
So he's mad at you.
It sounds like it. I'm telling you.
I don't know what to make of that.
I just retweeted it. And what's he doing in El Paso during the playoffs?
I don't know. Of all the places to be, I don't know why he was in El Paso.
So management was mad at him.
I would imagine that's the case, yes.
Because he had never told anyone.
It is a game seven. I don't know. Apparently some lines were crossed.
So he's like a bizarre guy. Like he doesn't tell anyone but you.
You called the biggest game of the year.
I did.
Yes. So that is kind of crazy. But I saw that and I was just like, oh, Grandy's upset.
No, because Grandy never told our bosses that he was going to not do the game. He did it.
Did he never tell them or did he just tell them late?
No, he never told them.
Because, Wallach, you knew like weeks before our program director.
Wallach informed our bosses that he was doing the game.
Oh, so I told Rick that I was... Rick knew a long time ago, but Mike apparently didn't, which was a surprise to me.
That's on
no
you
idea.
And Rick. That's not on you. That's on Rick and Grandy. Grandy never explained. And you don't even know why Grandy didn't call it.
I don't know. I didn't ask where he was going.
El Paso, apparently.
El Paso, Texas.
That's where his tweet was tagged from.
So. Okay. I don't know.
He's going to Juarez.
Would you like to call in game seven?
Going
sure.
To Juarez.
He'd be happy to be there.
Taking down some major drug dealers.
Right. So he's like the Sicario guy. He's just going to go over there and undercover just assassinate some
people. So how was Cedric Maxwell?
He was great.
Dude, Cedric Maxwell loves John Wallach.
He was great.
Loves John Wallach. And that's another reason for me to think that's why Sean Grady's so nervous.
He was very helpful, like he always is.
I have heard Sean and Max kind of, you know, go back and forth. Now, it borderlines on playful, but sometimes goes over to the, I'm kind of sick of your stuff type of deal. And I think that when you show up, Max is like, hey, a guy I like.
Yeah, they're like two peas in a pod.
I don't know what it is, Fred, but as you know, and you've heard of the show, Max loves Wallach.
Oh, yeah.
He loves
absolutely.
Having John Wallach. And you can hear it, too.
They're like almost the same.
They are in many ways.
One's got his number retired in the garden, and another one is a pencil neck geek.
This is so great.
Good morning, Fred. Good to see you.
People want to know if we're going to play any of John Wallach's highlights. Oh, of course. We've got them ready to go. He was good. I mean, it's not like
You heard it?
I heard one or two highlights. Actually, after the game, the Sports Hub isolated a couple of them.
The station was very nice.
Like the best calls of the game.
I like how John gets very professional about
What am I supposed to say? I thought it was very nice for them to do that.
Very nice.
What would you rather me say about this?
You're a gap-tooth idiot. That's what I would like you to say.
That you're a gap-tooth idiot?
No, I don't have a gap in my teeth.
So what am I supposed to say when that subject is brought up? What am I supposed to say? Am I supposed to say, no, I didn't do that?
Yeah, or you just go like, you know what? It's okay. I'm a gap-tooth idiot.
I see. Okay.
Is that what you say?
Okay.
I guess he was... I guess he was on Zoe... Sean Grady was on Zoe and Bertrand last week and said he was calling boxing for Fox.
Okay.
The El Paso boxing?
I don't know.
Big time.
It is interesting. So, yeah, I didn't hear him or see him on TV or anything like that.
No, I don't know how you missed that.
All I know is that the man seems a little bitter. John Wallach sliding in and takes one of the most exciting games of the year, Game 7.
Did you go, count it?
Of course I did. Of course I did.
You go, it's up in the air.
Three in the air.
Through the hoop.
Count it. Yep.
Count it.
Mm-hmm. I did.
How much food did Max crush?
None.
Really?
No, all business.
No, it was Game 7.
All business. Game 7, no food, got crushed.
Game 7, you can't.
No.
Did you hang out with the Wahlberg?
No food to the table. No. Donnie Wahlberg has been at every Celtics. I mean, he's Learjetting it from Milwaukee to Boston and back. I mean, hasn't been a Celtic playoff game yet where you haven't gotten a sideline, like, camera shot of Donnie Wahlberg. He's been everywhere.
Well, you got to call a great game. You had the best.
Is Learjet money?
I saw this picture online. I don't know if it was an Instagram or Twitter photo of him walking across the tarmac. He said, wheels up, you know, with the thumbs up in the camera.
Learjet money?
Yeah, apparently.
For Blue Bloods or whatever the hell show he's on?
Yep, it's Blue Bloods, but don't forget there's that New Kids on the Block tour. He still does that.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking combined, you got the...
I think that tour kind of killed. They did really well this last
Learjet
tour they did.
Learjet money. Because his wife is just like, hey, I farted.
Yeah.
That's her big thing.
Jenny McCarthy, right?
Maybe it was Aircraft One, because I know he's down with
RKK.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, baby.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, John Wallach, apparently you did a great job. I didn't hear it as I have a life. All right.
Thanks for the support, Fred. Appreciate it.
Well, what do you want me to do? Listen to the Celtics game at night? It was a Saturday night.
5 minutes just to see how I did. We worked together. We've known each other for almost 10 years. That's a little support. You know, would have been nice.
Why would I turn on the radio? I had people over my house.
Okay. That's fine. I'm good.
Still riding high on the Bruins game.
I understand. Which took place at what time?
3 o'clock.
I see.
Yeah, was not interested in the 8 o'clock game.
Oh, that's very obvious.
Plus, I have a television.
Right. Right. Why would you turn on the radio? One of the guys you work with on the radio, calling a Game 7, you know what's important to him.
I actually went to a place and read it via the Telegraph.
Sure, I get it.
The ticker tape.
You get that thing that spools out next to the couch. Right. I got gotcha. You.
I went to the bodega in Brooklyn.
The Philadelphia Athletics 3, the Brooklyn Dodgers 2.
That's right.
Yeah.
I get it. My grandfather used to do that.
Snyder grounds out to third.
Reading the
My
tape.
Grandfather was a huge New York Giants fan.
Mine too.
And he would have to go to the pharmacy.
Mine too. I used to walk down the neighborhood. There were radios in every block.
Yeah. Wasn't that like those movies like 8 Men Out where they would just read the scores?
Exactly what it was.
That's exactly what it was. It was a ticker tape came out.
It's a guy literally reading it
in a room full of people.
That's right. Joe Jackson pops out the shortstop.
Yeah, that was exactly what they did. All right. Well, listen, congratulations, John. I assume you did a bang-up job, and at least he got Grandy pissed and looking over his shoulder now. Which you gotta like. Ew.
Good morning.
Coached a 3-hour baseball game yesterday.
Oh, I get that joy. We're doing kid pitch starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Not great umpiring.
But oh, really? Okay.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
The sports hub, Rich, a lot of things over the weekend.
Yep, well, that was one hell of an ass-kicking this weekend.
Here's Pastrnak, steams in, right circle, right of the net. Back pass to Marchand, hanging high, right circle. Marchand protects, centers, they score! The Lightning have no answer for the top line. Brad Marchand from the bottom of the right wing circle dished it back up top for Bergeron, who zipped in a wrister near side, and the Bruins with a 5-2 lead.
And the Bruins simply made it look easy on Saturday when they blew out the Tampa Bay Lightning in their own house 6-2. And what more can we say about that top line other than they are hell-bent on destruction? A combined 11
hell-bent
points.
Hell-bent for leather.
Hell-bent for leather! A combined 11 points against the Lightning on Saturday. And then after only having 2 points in the entire first round, Rick Nash finally showed up for the Bruins.
And now the Bruins have it. Here's Pastrnak. Scampers up the right side. Krejci. Near point now. Rick Nash walks in, shoots. He scores! Absolutely, that puck cranked in. Top right wing circle. The referee behind the net made the call. The light never went on. Rick Nash with a snipe to the far corner. It's 3-1 Bruins.
And I'm sure Dave Mishkin was very depressed. We'll have to play some of his calls.
I wondered about him. A 6-2 loss. I'm thinking it wasn't a very fun day for him.
John, first thing I did when I came in this morning is when I talked to Mike, yeah. I said, I got to get Dave Mishkin's calls.
Get Mishkin, right.
I need to find it because there's no one who just goes from sounding like euphoric when Tampa Bay scores to sounding like on the verge of depression.
And then Phil Esposito goes and gets himself five fingers of scotch.
He right, just burps into the microphone. Yeah. So now we have game two this evening. However, yesterday, David Krejci, Kevin Miller, and Tuukka Rask were all missing from Bruins practice, but all three are expected to suit up for tonight's game. Krejci is nursing a, quote, very minor injury after absorbing a couple of heavy hits on Saturday, and both Miller and Rask were taking maintenance days while the rest of the team practiced. Here is Cassidy on their status.
Yeah, Krejci has a very minor injury to side. Him and Kevin Miller and Tuukka gave him a little bit of maintenance day. Nothing. Was there anybody else? No, I think that's it, right? So they're fine. I don't anticipate they will miss tomorrow. They should be ready to go.
All right, impressions from Saturday's game, Fred.
That's the best they've looked all playoffs. I like that Rask lost a blade off his skate and then chucked it against even though I guess they did the right thing. You're not allowed to call. You're not allowed to pause the game based on an equipment malfunction.
The mask has to come off. That's the only time they'll blow it down.
I learned a lot about that day.
Yeah.
But he, I like that he was fiery. If you take away that goal, he was pretty much as good as you could expect. And you got Rick Nash going.
Oh, that second line is going. That's been fun to watch.
And the only thing I'll say is that Bagus line. But that's the one thing that I'll say. But no, it was a complete victory in terms of my superstitions or my idiocy of not watching the game. There was never a point where I felt that game was in doubt. Whoever scores first in these games, it's very important. But yes, the Bruins on the road. Dominated.
You just wonder if they've got like a right combination that could stop that first line. I know that they threw the kitchen sink at him on Saturday, but I wonder what they can do to change things up to stop them from playing as dominant as they have.
You have a Norris Trophy finalist playing for you, and you can't stop the first line when you have last change.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens when the series comes back to Boston? I mean, Nash is scoring, if Nash is playing well, Tampa has no chance.
Yeah. So, and tonight's game really would be nice if they won, but it's not completely necessary. So that, yeah, the bet, there's no, they got lucky. There was no, you know, they weathered a storm. They dominated that game. And Rask played very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So the defense played well. Rask played very well. The top two lines played very well. That third line, not good. But the but other than that, I mean, Back is just like, you're like, whoa, boy, you're playing professional hockey, and you can't keep up with anyone. I think this is a much better matchup. They don't seem to be, there's nothing Tampa does that seems to be something that the Bruins can't counter. So, I mean, it can be very intimidating to play in a place where you're not allowed to wear sweaters. But I thought that was the best they played all playoffs.
It sounded like there were a lot of Bruins fans there, though.
They were going to, and there was a lot of Bruins fans. I'm not surprised by that. But as far as I'm concerned, that was a great game. I never felt nervous that whole game. I thought that they dominated.
Did you get to watch any more hockey this weekend? Did you get to see, I know it was late last night, but did you hear about the Nashville-Winnipeg game? Which, by the way, has been an amazing series. I haven't watched an entire game, but I've seen the highlights. But last night, double overtime, Nashville ends up winning that one. That is a fun series, too.
Yeah, I obviously didn't watch the double overtime, but I saw some of it. I saw Subban got in a little fight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I saw Washington beat Pittsburgh, which I what do you want, John? You want Washington or Pittsburgh if they win this series? Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think so.
You want Pittsburgh even though Washington snake bit and can't make it to the final?
That's just it. Washington owns the Bruins.
They do.
They always do, and for whatever reason, the Bruins can't beat Holtby, and they can't beat that team, although Holtby's been in and out as far as goaltending. I think he's got it back now. He didn't start this last series, but I think he's back now starting for them. But, yeah, I would rather play Pittsburgh than Washington in the next round.
I watched a lot of that game yesterday, and Pittsburgh played very poorly in that game.
And, by the way, Nashville and Winnipeg, same thing as the Bruins and Tampa, two best teams in the West.
Yep. Well, my hope for a Bruins versus Predators Stanley Cup final is still alive.
No, you don't want that. You want, well, I mean, you,
I do, because I want to travel to Nashville.
Well,
to
we just
it.
Had this it's long conversation Vegas. About Vegas, and you were in on that, too.
Well, no, it's gonna be Vegas. I told you I'd rather not go to Vegas. Vegas
you,
is what they're doing.
You said you'd rather not go to Vegas?
No, I'd rather go to Nashville than Vegas,
oh,
yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Vegas is a three-hour time difference.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but it's going to be Vegas. That's insanity, what's going on over there.
Yeah.
So, no, very impressed by the Bruins. Can't complain about anything in that game. I was never nervous. And if you're turning off the TV in a game one out of panic, that is something I don't do. That's reserved for game seven.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back. We'll talk about your Boston Celtics.
Get to hear a couple John Wallet calls, bird calls, I like to call them. So we've got a few of those ready to go.
Cuckoo.
And did you get a feeling people were listening?
The response I got before and afterward made me think that there were a lot of people listening, yes.
Okay. How many people?
I don't know. I didn't count. But I'd say 100 people on Twitter reached out before the game.
Oh, all right.
Man, equally about as much afterwards. People were very nice. Very nice about the whole thing.
Look at confident, John.
How is that confident? I'm being complimentary.
Am I wrong? No, I'm not even making fun of you. It's confident, John.
Well, people have been nice to him. I mean, I saw it on Twitter, too. So, I mean, I guess he's got a reason to be confident. A lot of people said he did a good job. I heard some of his calls. I always think he does a good job, though.
He deserves it because he's horrible on this show. So, he deserves it. And the research not kind to you. All right. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And after the Bruins game on Saturday, there was a little something called basketball, a little b-ball, mm-hmm. a little hoops.
It was a game so good, only one man could call it.
Smart straight away, working on a Horford screen.
Smart. Skip past Rozier. Fakes the three.
No way.
Now takes it.
No!
And he made it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a three for Terry Rozier.
Oh.
The building is as loud as it's been all night, and with good reason. Timeout on the floor. 5:17 to go in Game 7.
John Wall getting to call.
And Cedric Maxwell both excited and playing off each other.
That's right. Cedric Maxwell enjoys John Wall much more than Sean Grandy. And we can hear it. We know it. He has said it.
Okay. Well,
he's kind of said it.
I see. When the when the siren call of El Paso,
that was weird.
Calls you know you got to get out.
When
of
I
town.
Saw that Grandy tweet, it was like tagged in El Paso. I'm like, of all the strange towns that he would have gone to miss that game, but I guess there was some big boxing match.
You know what I would? I'm fine never doing
going to El Paso.
Going to El Paso.
El Paso is one of those places you go quickly in and out of. It's like El Paso is so weird because you're on the highway there, and to your left is like an Applebee's and then a Best Buy, and to your right, literally to your right, just over the little river right there, is hovels. It's Juarez, but I mean,
which is the most, which
the poorest of the poor.
The guys from Vice Magazine have been to Iraq. They've been to these places, and they said that in Iraq, the worst case scenario is you get arrested, and at least there's a courtroom where everyone's just yelling and screaming. You can't understand what's going on. In Juarez, they just shoot in your face.
Well, I mean, Juarez, you know, there's the stories about people driving into Juarez, and you actually see the heads of like drug lords, like opposing drug lords on the side of the road. Now, I'm not kidding you. This is something that's been a massive problem for like the last like 15 years or so. Go see the movie Sicario, and a lot of that's based in fact, and you will never want to go anywhere near there.
There's guys from Vice that have been Chernobyl, Iraq, Afghanistan, and the worst place they've ever been to in terms of dangers, Juarez.
Yep, well, Sean Grandy was dancing with danger last night, or Saturday night, apparently. But there you go, John, getting to call what would not only be the biggest game of the year thus far, but also one of the most exciting. Celtics beat the bag out of the Bucks in Game 7, and it was one of those games where the shots continued to fall and everyone was clicking offensively. Al Horford and Rozier, both with 26 points, and Jason Tatum with 20, including his most ridiculous sequence of the year.
It's Larkin. Skip past Tatum. Tatum fakes the three, takes the three, makes the three! Jason Tatum, a three-point field goal from the right. Biggest lead of the night for the Celtics, 81-65.
Boy, he stretched it out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. He did not shy away from the moment. A game seven, and he was awesome all over the place. And you know what? Where was the turning point at the beginning of that game? Where was the moment that you knew that they were just, it was the point of no return?
Well, they had a 20-2 run at the end of the first quarter.
And when did that start?
Tatum. Tatum had a big first quarter.
See, I thought it was when they put Marcus Smart in.
When they put
Marcus Smart in, that's when things took the turn.
It always seems that way. Mm-hmm. And Max agrees with me. We had this discussion. Ultimately, the way things work, you're going to have to come down to choosing between Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier on this team. Rozier has 1 year left on his contract. He's going to make big money. He's proven he can be a starting point guard in this league. And Smart's contract is up at the end of this season. So you have to decide, are you going to trade Rozier and re-sign Smart to the big deal, $13, $14, $15 million, or are you going to let Smart go? And we both agree you got to keep Smart.
Or you ride Nader.
Or you ride
Abdul Nader.
Right.
Yep. You know what?
You just ride him into the finals.
As much as I love the guy, you know what four words just make me cringe? That would be Marcus Smart for three. Anytime it's just like, oh.
Yeah, that part of his game hasn't changed.
It's like, what are we doing here?
No.
Well, he went for eight. He went for eight with two assists and a rebound.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he's one of those guys that just you sick him on him, and defensively.
Four rebounds, I apologize.
Yeah, but did he have 5 points? Yeah. He wasn't very good offensively, but my God, does he change the game. However, it was not all good news for the Celtics. With Jaylen Brown just before the half leaving with a hamstring injury, it was determined later to be a grade one hamstring strain. Here is Brad Stevens with an update.
Still has some soreness. Didn't try to do anything that I know of running-wise today. Did have some testing, and that looked good, thankfully. So doubtful for tomorrow, but, you know, I guess he could play, and then looks like it could be something that allows him to play as the series goes on.
It's funny, at the half, I was like, I don't know what's going on with Jaylen Brown, but I've got an insider. So I was tweeting, John, you're there, what do you know? And he unfortunately didn't know anything that anybody else knew. So at that point, it was still a question mark.
Count it.
Here's Jaylen Brown being asked about what happened afterwards.
It would have been the last game of the season, so if needed, yeah, that would have been my. I didn't want to do anything to hurt the team, though. I seen that we had it, so we took care of it. I got the rest I needed to try to get ready for Philly.
Well, one thing that was pretty damn funny on Saturday was this clip that they played up on the Jumbotron in the fourth quarter.
Hey, Boston. It's the original ones.
Bledsoe, and he goes, hey, it's the original Bledsoe, and the place, of course, goes nuts. You know, that obviously comes from the reference of Rozier accidentally calling Eric Bledsoe Drew Bledsoe after he was asked about Rozier and said, who? Terry was asked about the video that played afterwards.
I know it happened during a timeout, but did you happen to see Drew Bledsoe up there on the Jumbotron?
Man, that was special. Hey, that was dope. I don't know who thought of that, but that was nice. For real. I liked that.
I think Eric Bledsoe finally just, like, conceded that at the end. Like, he wasn't cocky at the end of Game 7 when they lost. He goes, I got to hand it to him. He had a great series.
He gave him
a good series. He did.
Him a big hug.
So now we get the matchup.
Drew Bledsoe's so famous and so great. Drew Bledsoe. I mean, can you imagine running into him somewhere? We going, like, you were really mediocre.
Don't tell that to Scott Zoll. He'll come in here and punch you. He'll throw something at you in the studio.
It's funny. You look up Bledsoe's numbers. They're a lot better than you think they are.
I don't doubt it.
Now, granted.
He got beaten out by a six-round pick.
That's right. Now, granted, he lost his job to Tom Brady when he was at the height of his powers, Bledsoe did.
Yeah.
And, that's the thing. Bledsoe was taken number one overall. You know all about that. But he was the franchise quarterback. Everyone assumed he would be the guy.
Keep making fun of Bledsoe, and Zolak will come in and throw something at John. For you saying
it. Oh, perfect. Good.
Because that's the way it works right here. When he gets angry, it's always John that gets the butt end.
Correct.
So there we go.
If you met Drew Bledsoe, would you be in any way impressed?
I'm sure you've met him before. Everyone's met him.
Yeah, he's
here.
Been in the studio.
Yeah, he comes all the time.
I haven't met him.
You haven't met Drew Bledsoe?
No.
Yeah. He's
maybe he's been here and I've just ignored him.
Could be.
I think I've met him like twice. I think both times we're here. Yeah, I think you're right.
He came in and like started the show with Zolak. Yes.
Yep. So now we get the matchup we want, not because the Celtics should win it, because that's probably not the case, but because it's going to be fun as hell. The Celtics are 3-1 against the Sixers this year, 0-1 without Kyrie Irving. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. tonight, so as I said, get ready to wear out your last button on the remote. This is a... put it this way. This is a series no one should expect the Celtics to win. It doesn't mean they don't have a shot. And I kind of took a look at the numbers. We'll get into it a little bit later on. But Al Horford has had a decent amount of success against Joel Embiid this season. However, we know that the 76ers, when the Celtics played them, are a different team because this is a team that went on that massive tear.
Yeah.
At the end.
Embiid has faced the Celtics three times this season and has a double-double in all three games.
Yes. However, Al Horford, when you look at how other teams have played against him, he's one of the better defenders of Joel Embiid that he's had to play this entire year. On top of that, you got a guy in Ben Simmons who is obviously excellent, averages a double-double, but his game is limited in one aspect.
Yep.
You can't shoot the three. How many threes has he made this season? Has he made
zero.
Okay.
Zero threes this year.
All right. Well, I mean,
he's 0 for 12, including the playoffs.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun series, and I just can't wait. I've been saying this for a week now, for them to sick Marcus Smart on those guys and get in their head, because they are extremely susceptible to losing their minds and their composure. So this will be a fun series. Don't expect the Celtics to win. It doesn't mean they can't. It
depends on how many games Jaylen Brown's available for. I mean, Jaylen Brown was a leading scorer for the Celtics in the playoffs in the first round, and you're not going to see him tonight. And
that's not official.
Well, they don't expect him. No, I don't think. The thing is, Brown tried to get back in the game. They had him run sprints back and forth after halftime.
They announced Stevens, that he was going to be back.
Right. Stevens looked at him and said, you're not playing, and then he was medically cleared to play, but... I mean, there's that thing where you go to sleep and the hamstring stiffens up on you. And I would imagine the next morning he felt a lot different than he did Saturday night. So we'll see. I hope he plays. I mean, that would make it a much better series if he plays.
Now, we can check all of that on tonight. The Bruins will be on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yep.
And then the Celtics will be wherever the hell we stick them.
100.7.
No.
No, it won't be.
Why not?
I thought
because
it was
they
on
all.
But it's contractual. It's part of the contract, regardless of who owns the station. I still think it's on 100.7.
Well, you would know. So you would actually know.
Where were you on Saturday night?
I was on 98.5, yes.
Mm. Yeah, 98.5 got both games.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They were spaced out just enough.
Mm-hmm. That meant 1 hour for Joe Murray.
Right.
By the way,
talking about the ponies.
I was getting ready, and I was listening to Joe down the line. Yep, first thing. I'm pounding under in this Celtics game 7. I swear to God, I'm listening to him. It's like, I love this game.
I would listen to an hour-long show.
Murray's great.
Of degenerate gamblers. I honestly would.
He always gets distracted.
Yeah.
Because he's watching the games. And then he'll go because, you know, he's a degenerate gambler.
I think Arcan was in here with him, and Arcan's like, what? What are you talking about? Oh, okay.
No, Arcan's like a little angel compared to Joe Murray, who's just sitting there gambling on everything.
Mm-hmm.
We will return.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Remember this, if you're out and about today, every Bruins game during the playoffs is on the free 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Download it now at 98.5thesportshub.com/app.
Mm-hmm. And while those games are going on this weekend, you know what the Patriots are doing? Trading down. Trading. But what they ended up with at number 56 was a cornerback. That's right, Duke Dawson out of Florida. On top of that, they got themselves a linebacker in Juwan Bentley. Also, another linebacker in Christian Sam from Arizona State. You got a little wide receiver, Braxton Berrios from Miami. And then, how about this, a quarterback at number 219, Danny Etling from LSU.
Of course.
So watch out, Tom Brady. Here comes the Et. Also, another cornerback. But one thing that there were a couple things I found very interesting about what they did over the weekend, other than, of course, trading down, down, down. But Juwan Bentley, who was the round 5, 143rd pick, it was funny because almost as soon as he was drafted, there were stories coming out about how apparently he doesn't like to practice. As a matter of fact, there's the if you go to NFL.com, they've got a draft profile as a player, and they say that he looks the part. However, they say that he is not any kind of alpha leader in the locker room and does not like to practice. So to that, I say, let's go to the war room. Now, Patriots.com did a very good job this weekend with the very exciting phone calls that each one of these players would get from not only Bill Belichick, but then you got the closer afterwards. So Bill's just the appetizer, because then after that, you get the one and only RKK. He's the guy who you want to feel nice and cozy. Let's take a listen. This is the new linebacker, Juwan Bentley, getting called.
Yeah, baby.
Let's take a listen.
Yep. First name is Juwan, J-A, apostrophe, W-H-U-A-N, linebacker, Purdue.
Hey, Juwan, how you doing?
Go ahead, guys. Turn it in.
Great. Juwan. Good. Congratulations. We're about to make you a new patron. Excited to have you. Excited to have you. And look forward to working with you.
Sound it.
You've learned how to handle adversity and turn it into something positive. And the fact that your peers elect you a 3-time captain, that's also pretty cool.
Did you hear that?
Pretty cool.
It's also pretty cool. And then he snaps. The phone hangs up on its own.
Pretty cool.
I just love that. You know what?
It's pretty cool.
You know, I got Meek Mill out of jail.
That's right. And I know cool, baby. I just love how Bill Belichick gets on the phone, and he just sounds like I have to do this as a formality. Let's get this done.
Just oozing emotion. If you're on the other end of that phone, you have to deal with the head coach who obviously doesn't get, barely knows who you are.
Shoes him away and gets
out of here. And you have Daddy-O on the other end saying, hey.
One interesting thing I did find out this weekend about the war room is that, according to, and I forget what writer it was I read this, but I guess this is like the first time Josh McDaniels has been in the war room with everybody.
Oh!
Which does kind of say something. I'll have to find out which writer said that. But if you look at the video, it's Nick Caserio and, oh, and of course, Pink Stripes, Ernie Adams. He's all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's popping all around.
He's running the operation. And, of course, you've got Robert and Jonathan Kraft, Bill Belichick. But there is, indeed, Josh McDaniels sitting there. Now, I had no idea one way or the other whether he was involved in all of this. But from what I had read, this is the first time.
Yeah, he came through a lot.
And to that, I would say that is
pretty cool.
It's pretty cool, if you ask me. So, I watched every one of those videos. I watched every one of the ones that they posted on Patriots.com. It was like Robert Kraft at one point when they called Isaiah Wynn. He was like, "Isaiah, you're named after my favorite prophet."
No, he didn't.
Said that.
He didn't say that.
I'm not kidding you. Well, I'll pull the audio.
Pretty cool.
He was like, oh, man. Yeah, so you know.
Pretty okay. Cool.
All right, so we'll be back. Tampa Bay, that means Michigan. And again, you're not allowed to wear Bruins gear in the games. We'll further explore that. No commercials here, just the headlines.